Raising a Champion with John Boric.
Hello again and welcome into another episode of Raising a Champion. I'm John Boric. Thanks for joining us once again. We have reached six different continents. We have been downloaded on six different continents out there, except for Antarctica. So as soon as we start doing some dog sledding, then maybe we'll hit Antarctica as well. But it is it's good to see that we're finally getting around, and you're making it happen by spreading the word, saying good things about us, and by doing that, you're subscribing to the show, leaving a review, doing all of those good things, and you're the ones that make it happen. But it's fun to watch the growth of this show. We started in September of 2022, so we haven't been doing it that long, but here we are now 4 or 5 months into it, and the growth is really taking off. So with that said, about a month ago, we had Hannah Prentz, who was the head coach, head field hockey coach for St. Joseph's University. Our guest on this episode is Ken and Kim O'Donnell. They're from Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. And what's impressive as you listen to them, they have five Division I athletes that they have produced over the years. All girls, and all five of them field hockey players. And I'm going to go through the list real quick. And you, guys, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. The oldest, Casey, went to James Madison.
Correct.
Brianna, Penn State.
Correct.
Erin went to James Madison. She's now transferring to Westchester.
Correct.
Carrie and Riley, I think they're twins?
Correct.
Yes. Yep.
And they are going to Penn State, but they're still in high school.
Correct.
Welcome to the show, by the way.
How you doing, John?
Yeah.
Happy to be here, pal.
Yeah, no, it's good. Wow. Five Division I athletes. Did you guys plan this over the years? Was this all part of the major plan to have Division I athletes? I find it very interesting because to have five kids play sports, rarely would they all play the same. You may have a basketball player, a football player here, but they all play field hockey. So how did this come to be?
So it's crazy. No, we did not plan this at all. Actually, someone just this past weekend said to me, oh my gosh, wow. Do you realize how crazy that is that all five are playing hockey at school? And I kind of just looked at her like, I guess not. Like, I guess I don't think we really just sit there and say, this is amazing. I think it just kind of is what we do. I think it's just kind of our life and we just do it every day. And we were just fortunate that our kids work hard and they each, you know, strive to do this. And we got there. And I guess looking back now that that person said it to me, I think, wow, that I guess that is really amazing. But no, I did not really think of it like that. But, you know, we are fortunate.
Yeah,
definitely.
Did you play field hockey? Is that how they drew an interest to the sport?
I did.
Now that's funny, John. I don't want to cut her off, but I used to go to her games and they played on grass. And this was at Penn State Ogons.
Yes.
And which is in Abington campus now for Penn State. And I'm like, what the hell's going on out here? Like, the ball would stop. They wouldn't have quick starts. And it was just really tough to follow the game. Ball hits the girl's foot. It's the other team's ball.
But it was so you knew.
But she looked good in the skirt.
Yeah, right. I like that girl. She's moving out there. But you had no concept of the sport, how it would be played.
Yeah, and it's way different now than it was then. I mean, it was like he said, it was on grass. I played in high school just to do something with my friends. It wasn't like a big sport. It was like, well, why don't we all just do field hockey together? And we did. And then when we got to Ogons, just kind of got in a group of girls that were all wanted to do it again. It wasn't hard to make that team. You know, it wasn't like a very popular sport at the time. But yeah, we dated, you know, when we were 18. So he did used to come and watch me. And the ball would go into like a ditch. And it would be like the game would just stop. And that's like it went into a hole. Like now they play on these different surfaces. I mean, they have the turfs, the water-based turfs, which the ball is so quick. And they can do so many tricks. And then the indoor is, you know, on like a basketball court, you know, type of flooring. And it's just really, really quick. So it's just a totally different game than it was then. So I wouldn't even say I played field hockey, honestly. And it was very like the Ogonce level. It was, you know, not the levels they are now, but yeah.
So, Ken, did you try to push them into other sports? And because a lot of the parents and people that we talk to don't like to be sports specific, you know, want to get out there, do a winter sport, do a spring sport, find something to do in the summer. Did you try to point them in a different direction?
Not necessarily a different direction. Field hockey, I don't think, was as big as, like, say, a soccer or softball. You know, stuff like that, swimming, you know, so all our girls pretty much started out playing soccer at like a rec league kind of, and, you know, it's like they say when they're little, it's just the balls here and you just got the green team and the orange team.
Yeah. It's like herding cats.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You've been there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where they kind of all started. And then we encouraged them to get into sports. I mean, they got into softball, but then I was kind of like, you know, this reminds me of Kim playing field hockey. Like, it's so slow out there. You know, it was back when, you know, you hit off the tee and it was just, you know, kids were just learning this. I mean, Case was probably 7 or 8 years old, I want to say. But then she got into soccer, got into swimming, and then everyone kind of followed suit. You know, like Brianna followed, you know, the same things Case was doing. And then likewise with Aaron and then the twins. And just been fortunate enough that they work hard, they play hard, and have fun. That's the big, you know, quote we use in the house is, you know, if you're going to go out there, you got to have fun, but you got to play hard. And with that, you'll have a great time. So, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explain kind of the differences and what makes each of these five girls so unique. I get a sense because they're all athletes and they're all collegiate athletes. They all have a very highly competitive side to them, and probably one drives another. I mean, and it just sort of plays, it permeates from one kid to the other one, you know, and they probably continuously find ways to challenge themselves. In fact, I think it'd be interesting to get a game of you know, playing Scrabble or something at the O'Donnell household,
right.
Seeing how competitive it would get between the family and the five girls.
Right. It does get competitive. You know, pull out the cards, rummy. There's a game called Pit. I don't know, as a kid, you grew up playing Pit, but you basically trade cards. And so it's all seven of us at the table and we're all trying to win. And you're just trading and it's almost like the stock exchange kind of thing. But it's
especially
like
you.
All the
names.
Yeah, I mean.
He's knocking people over. It's a card game.
But they do have that fire.
They do.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them have that fire.
And it's fun. I mean, Casey and Bree were fortunate enough to play with each other at North Penn. That's where they went. And then was Aaron able to play with Bree? I don't think so. I think they skipped.
They
one went to college, one was a freshman in high school. But then Aaron was able to play with the twins for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was really fun, like seeing Casey and Bree out there at the same time. And they complimented each other because they grew up together playing the sport. So it was an advantage for them being on the same team. And that kind of filtered down with Aaron and the twins being out there at the same time because they would be on the same team and just all be forwards and mids, which, you know, play together basically on the field, on the offensive side of things. So, yeah, they're very competitive and it's fun to see them out there. Plus, we only had to go to one game. So it made our life a little bit easier because you know, you didn't have to wait for JV or you didn't have to wait for, you know, junior high, maybe going over to one of them games. So, you know, we're constantly on the run with all the kids. We want to be there for them. And as you were saying before we jumped on, like you were able to see your daughter's bocce game, I think you said,
so,
right?
Just to give people some perspective, I had my daughter had a bocce game. I went straight from there to my son's basketball game and then came here, started recording the podcast on this night. So that just goes to show you got to find a way to squeeze and sandwich everything into a very busy schedule. I'm sure, you know, you worked. I have no idea sort of when the kids were younger, how in the world did you juggle everything?
I think, not to take this one, but like Kim was saying earlier, like when she was asked that question over the weekend by your friend, she really couldn't answer because you're in the thick of it throughout. And we've been like this for what, like 15, 20 years?
It's like you
constantly
you don't,
running.
You don't
know
better.
Anything different.
You don't
know
anything different at that point.
And, yeah. And it's a good thing. It was a great thing, actually. I mean, I'm fortunate enough. I work for a general contractor, and he's a great boss. And I'm able to, you know, if the kids are playing, he wants you there. He wants you to see your kids and be there for them. So we were fortunate enough throughout the years to be able to travel, you know, at the college level with Case, Bree, pretty much make all their games, except for the ones that were all the way out in Iowa or, you know, stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for a while, I didn't work for a little bit, like once my third child was born. Right. I did stop working for...
That would be Aaron.
Right.
That would be Aaron. Number three, Aaron.
Number
right.
three. I did stop working for a little bit. But so I really, when Casey was involved in things and Brianna, I guess they were 8 and 6 when we had all five. So we had 5 kids. The oldest was 8 at the time.
That's as tough as it got so, at that time. At 8,
well, I don't even quite remember it. We see pictures. I'm like, well, how did we do that? Like you see like twins just all over the place. One's like, you know, in their diaper running around. And we're like, how did we get them to even their soccer games? We don't even know. It was a fog. But, you know, they would just all go with me. You know, he would still be at work. I'd be like, I'll meet you at the game or I'm running here. I would just strap everyone in the car and give them their cereal in the car or whatever it was. And we'd get there and, you know, all climb up to the road and see them. So I think that's how we did it. And now, yeah, we both do work full time now. But we do still try our best. You know, the neighbors laugh. Our car is just in, out, in, out, in, out. Now we have 4 cars.
Here's what's interesting. You may not have been able to do this podcast over the last 20 years because you were always having to tote everybody around.
Exactly.
Right. Now everybody's got a car.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody can drive. Yes. Everybody can go to their own practice.
Yes.
Exactly.
Boys.
It's easy.
I'm sure you were like, I can't wait for this day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely changed. Even just this year is the first time it actually happened because the twins are 17 now. So even up to last year, they weren't allowed to drive by themselves. So, you know, every night they have practice one night a week for field hockey in the winter at this time. And it's like from right after school and they don't get home till like 10 o'clock at night. So it's one night, but it's long.
It's a lot.
So we had to take turns kind of going up and you would just go to Costco. Like you made that plan that when you were up there sitting there for that many hours, you just picked them up from school. You brought them food to eat in the car and then you went and ran your errands or whatever you had to do. It just kind of, you planned your life around that, knowing what their schedule was because you had to be the driver, you know, for them. But I think they appreciate it. They understand that it's a lot of work, you know, and but they love it. I mean, I think they would let us know if they didn't want to do it anymore, you know, and they never said that, you know. And like you said, they do kind of feed off for each other. I think they have, you know, especially the twins, they've seen their sisters go through it and they see that we all participate as a family, you know, like we all travel to Penn State and it's so much fun. Like we've met some of our best friends there as well as the kids meeting their best friends. We still have a family from JMU that comes to our Christmas Eve every year.
That's great.
You know, like that's how close they've become. And we still have a group chat with JMU parents. We still have group chats with Penn State parents. Like we try to still get together with them. So it really has become a family thing. You know, it's kind of like our thing. Like whether we drive sometimes to these far places and we look at each other and we're like, this is what we do. Yeah. Like it's just part of our life. And it's been fun though.
So, Ken, Casey's the first daughter, and she's going through it, and then you have Brianna, who's 2 years younger. I would have to think that starting out when you're going through this process that there's some trial and error, things that you're like, yeah, we probably shouldn't have done that. And then by the time you get to now Kerry and Riley, the two twins, you probably have it all figured out. What did you learn early on to where you were able to perfect it? As you know, kid 3, 4, and 5 came around.
You make it sound so easy, John.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I look at you guys, and I think that you've made it so easy.
You know what? I think it's just showing up, being there for your kids. I really do. I think, I love now. I really like field hockey because it's faster. As I was saying earlier, watching Kim back in the day was like watching paint dry, and now the sport has become so big. And it's so much fun to watch. It's almost like watching ice hockey at that level. And I think what we've learned more is just to try and find out where your kid wants to go and then pursue them colleges or them schools and get out to them colleges to see, you know, what's the surroundings, what's academically do they, you know, provide at each college, you know, the majors are different, stuff like that. And so I think you do some camps, you know, if you do, hey, this school looks really cool, you know, get out to the camps and, you know, experience like a Saturday. Sometimes they have a 2 or 3 day clinic there and you can get to know the coaches, get to know the atmosphere and see how you like it. And that would be my, I guess, recommendation to parents going through it. But I mean, Kim, correct me if I'm, was there any kind of structure we followed or anything, or it was just, I think they were just sponges off the older kids where it just kind of was like a snowball effect. I felt like with every kid, they got better and better because they were around it earlier. And I think the competition now more so than when Casey was in it. I believe that it's harder now. If you get into the sport a little bit later, I think you're more disadvantaged because more kids are starting really young. And they're really getting the skills that they need, the fundamentals, which I think is huge in any sport. But
And that's another question I was going to ask you. Mm-hmm. Now you've seen there's an 8-year age difference between number one and 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. How much better has the athlete gotten? How much better is the training as a result of that? And we talk about some of the how much quicker the game is. But I'm sure just from the first child that you have to now the twins – just the big leaps, because this is almost the bread and butter of field hockey, this area, this region, mm-hmm. so many schools and top 20 schools. Mm-hmm. How much better, what have you seen just from your first child that went through it to the twins, you know, and where they are now?
Yeah. It's grown. I mean, just you go to these tournaments on the weekends and it's kind of all year round because the indoor Kim mentioned too, they play on floor tiles or like a basketball surface. Indoor and it's a faster game and you're really practicing your stick skills and stuff. And you go to some of these tournaments and you see like maybe an age group lower than the girls are in at this point. And you're like, oh my God, look at this girl. Like she's amazing. She must've been playing like when she was 5, you know? So, but the level I think has gone because I think it's become, so much more,
popular, I guess it would be. Like when Casey came to like it, she basically was just trying it out with a friend on like a t-shirt league in our neighborhood, really not knowing too much about it herself. Like she was a swimmer and a soccer player, like Kenny was saying. But she just started playing and realized that, you know, she was pretty good at it and really liked it and was like, wow. This is kind of cool. Like, so we tried out for like a travel team in 7th grade. Like, she was so old to be trying out, you know. And we were like, we don't even know what we're doing, you know. I guess this is the next step. If she really likes it, let's try this. But now, I think if you start at 7th grade, you're a little more at a disadvantage than back then. Because I think back then, no one knew about it as much. Right. There's not a lot of people that were in those travel.
The community was small, and then it's grown. The chat rooms, the information that's out there.
Yep.
So more people are involved. And like he said, there's like 8, 9, 10-year-olds now that are really good because they've been playing so young, where I think it was a little more unusual to play that young when it was our older daughter's age. Right. So like our twins probably started that t-shirt league in 1st grade, you know, and they – like, again, it wasn't anything serious, but it got them to be like, wow, this is really fun. I really like this. And they still played soccer at the same time because soccer was really where all their friends were. You know, I feel like it was a little like they didn't really know too many people, but they thought it was cool what their sister was doing. So they played soccer and field hockey until field hockey became their more fun place to be and thing that they more accelerated at. And then they kind of just steered in that direction, even though not a lot of their friends were in that direction. Right, it wasn't as many. It wasn't as big of a friend thing, but they became friends with the teams that they, you know, were on, especially in high school, you know, and then in their club teams, they have friends. But it definitely has grown a lot where there's, I would say, many more people the twins' age looking to go to college for it than Casey's.
You had mentioned something that I found interesting was searching out the colleges that you're interested as opposed to perhaps waiting and seeing what colleges are interested in you.
Yes.
Right.
I think, good point.
Yep. I think it's like with Casey, we were like flattered that coaches were coming to us to say, hey, look, we would like your daughter to play field hockey here. And we really didn't know much about it, as Kim alluded to. And we were just like, okay, I guess we got to start looking. And then we loved the experience at James Madison. It was fantastic. And we met a lot of friends there. With Bree, she always wanted to go to Penn State, which was just, we felt like she hit the lottery ticket when they approached her, like, hey, we really want you. So that was awesome for us as well. And she kind of knew she wanted to go there. She had it narrowed down to about three or four different colleges. And same thing with Erin. She narrowed it down to about three or four different colleges. The mm-hmm. twins, they would always go with us to Penn State, which is funny. And it would be like, we'd be in the car for 3 hours, get out, maybe tailgate for a half hour, and then right to the game. Game's over, back to Bree's house, or back in the car, go back home. They never seen the campus. So when they're like, we want you to come up, take a look at the campus. They walked around the campus. They're like, this is absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful.
I love it up here. This is where we want to go. It was a really cool experience. And mm-hmm. for all five kids, like they like you said, they're different. They all kind of knew where they wanted to go. And again, we're just so fortunate enough to be able to sit here and have them go to the places they want and that we want for them, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's parents out there. They're going to listen to this episode. They're going to say, okay, I would like for my daughter to follow in those footsteps. Mm-hmm. So for somebody out there, and maybe, you know, their child may be 13, 14, 15, I don't know, they still have some high school. But if they want to gear up and they want to angle in that direction of playing in college, give some pointers. Give some, you know, some, you know, just what you would say, here's a nice little guideline mm-hmm. of, A, what to expect and what you can do to position your daughter to where she can play at that level.
Okay. You can take that.
I would say at this point they really probably have to play year round, like get into a club that plays in the fall. As you know, they play in the fall and they also play in high school.
And what year did that start for your girls?
The club. Probably U12.
Right.
They could start U12.
Okay.
And
you guys didn't think that's too early to start playing year round.
So when they were U12, they weren't as much year round at that age.
Okay.
They pretty much just did the indoor.
Okay.
At that, and then they were still doing like soccer and like t-shirt okay. league.
So they weren't exclusively field
hockey. They weren't
hockey.
Exclusively okay. at that time. No. And Casey still swam up until high school. Like everyone did other sports. But I would say if you're looking for your child to go. Maybe the D1 that you should be, I think you would have to be in a club because the clubs is what takes you to a lot of these showcases. And that's where you would go and the coaches come. A lot of coaches come to see these showcases. But if you're looking on your own, as Kenny had said, I kind of like the fact that your kid kind of picks where they feel like they would fit in well. And make sure that the school has a major or at least is a school that a large school that has a lot of different choices and kind of go to those camps specifically so that college coach can see you. Or at least if you're going to a big showcase, make sure that some of those coaches are going to be in attendance before you go. You know, instead of spending all that money for a showcase and it maybe isn't the schools you were even interested in.
So you really have to do your homework into what showcases you're going to be able to actually showcase your child's talent.
Absolutely.
To the right people.
To the right
Correct.
People.
Yeah. Correct. And there's a lot of camps out there or showcases out there. And there's some indoors, right, like which would be the NITs usually in like mm-hmm. late February. And some coaches will go there, some won't because it's indoor and it's not necessarily outdoor, you know, and it's an outdoor sport mm-hmm. for the college, you know, fall. So, But yeah, I mean, just educate yourself with, you know, where they want to go and then, you know, try and sign them up and be there. I think it's key for them to be diverse, you know, like lacrosse. Our kids played lacrosse, the twins and Bree were big lacrosse players. And they're going to play for the school this year, lacrosse. It's in the spring. But I think that hand-eye coordination is good for field hockey and lacrosse. And there's a lot of girls that that play lacrosse and field hockey at the same time. And I think it's just good. I think conditioning, it helps you. And like I said, the hand-eye coordination, I think, is valuable in both sports. So they'll play that, and then they'll just play field hockey, I guess, in college, right? We would think it'd be great if they played lacrosse too, there, right? I'm kidding.
Lacrosse is fun sport too. Yeah. They did. I guess by sophomore year, we kind of talked to them about trying to pick one or the other to focus a little more on. Especially with twins, club sports can be expensive. So you have two of them.
Do you ever just sit around and I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
On scratch pad and estimate how much money has it cost us for you guys to play field hockey all these years and into college?
And I'll be saying, what are you doing over there? And she'll crumble it up. She won't let me sit. Because you're spot on. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
A lot of travel, a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
Just a tournament in Virginia or wherever you go, when you factor in food and hotels and gas and tolls,
right?
Yep. If there's equipment and whatever, easily $1,000,
right?
In fact, that's your starting point, and then you can work your way up there.
It's
depending on how much partying the parents.
Yeah,
do.
Exactly. Yeah. You said it, John.
I know how it goes. Yep. I know how it works.
Yeah. Well, the funny story is, a couple years ago, the Big Ten tournament was in Iowa, and we were going to fly out there, but you got to take two planes, and then you got to get a car to get to. And we're like, let's just drive. So I drove out there.
Ooh, Iowa City, Iowa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
15 hours.
Well, let me see. I mean, you probably make it to Louisville, Kentucky in one day, if you're lucky, and then stay the night. And then
We made it to South Bend.
We made it to South Bend, Indiana. Okay.
And then the only reason why we stopped, we hit some ice on the way and stuff. Yeah, we're like, hey, let's just park it, and then we'll drive I think it was another four and a half hours to Iowa City. And Penn State was slated to, I think they were two. They were going to win. They were playing Ohio State the first game. Well, they lose. Ohio State showed up. They lose. And the next day, we thought we were up there for the whole weekend. We'll hang out. This will be fun. The next day, we're in our car driving back the other 15, 15 hours. But it was a funny story. It was good times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that you probably throw a lot of the credit back on the girls, but there has to be something that the two of you take a little bit of credit for, whether it was instilling a good attitude, whether it was a work ethic, I don't know. But I would have to think, if you're going to produce five Division I athletes, that there's something that at least the parents can point to and say, yeah, we can take a little bit of credit for that.
I'll take it all, Kim. Nah, I don't know what that is, John, but I do know that we have a very close family. Like this past weekend, Bree's still home from break, and so was Aaron. And Riley was playing a tournament on Saturday, or Kerry was on Saturday. Get them mixed up. And they all came, different cars, and they wanted to be there for, same thing for Sunday's tournament, too. And Case, unfortunately, but she was coaching. She coaches her old club team, which is cool. So she's very active with field hockey, even though that she's moved on. She's an occupational therapist now. But she finds the time to be there. And I just think it's family. I think it's support. I think it's, I don't know, just being there for them, like showing up, like I said, like maybe, they're not playing, but you're there, they see you. And I think by them seeing you, when they do get out on that field, they're giving 110%. And, I would think that. You want to add to that, Kim, or just, it's not like, I was a super athlete, or you were a super athlete.
No, I mean, maybe you were a disciplinarian. I don't know how much of that was put there. And were they always supportive of each other? Did you sometimes have to say, knock it off, stop? Maybe one of the girls was hard on another girl, and you had to sort of rein one of them in a little bit.
You ever remember that happening?
I don't know. Right now it's easier because, some of them are out. And they can just come back and see their younger sisters play. But, when they were younger, we just drug them there to watch because we had to. Like, we were all going to the same place. I think, you always say that one quote. I would say, have fun or work hard, kick butt, have fun. That it's kind of what we say when they go out the door. we want you to work hard, you know, but have fun at the same time. You know, when they come off, I think we've learned to, even though it's easy to want to criticize right away or say like, oh my God, why weren't you there at the post when the ball was there, you know? And I think over the years, we have kind of learned to let them talk first and see how they think it went, you know, like before you say something, because usually they know they messed up already. So you saying it to them is just going to get them more upset. So why even say it? Like, they're already harder on themselves than you are going to be on them. And it usually will just cause tears or, you know, so you we just that. Kind of like, all right, good game, get in the car. We just kind of learn to just kind of let it go for a little bit. And every kid's different. Like, some of them want that feedback right away. Some get in the car and go, all right, what did you watch? What did you think? When I did this, do you think that was the right move? Like, they want that feedback. And then others are like, we know, do not talk to them right now. And maybe not until the next day. They need to process it a little bit if they had a bad game.
Dad, did you always understand that? I think with women, their emotions may be more like this.
You see where my hair is at, John, right?
By the way, the hair is thin, and it is gray.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, like Kim said, to her point, you know, like maybe in the beginning, I'd be like, hey, you know, and they would look at you, and I'd just be like, all right, just change the subject. And then, you know, you get home, you're eating dinner, and they'll bring it back up to you, and they'll explain, like, you know what, Dad, I should have been at the post at this, and I should have done this, and I don't know why I shot that. I had somebody open on the other side. And you just, you kind of, you know, with age comes knowledge, they say, right? So I've learned that over the years to just try and take a back seat. Just, they know what they did wrong, and they'll fix it. And they're competitors, and they'll go at it the next game and turn it around. It's a lot of fun watching the growth of each one of them. And
and the maturity that comes along with
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely,
as you said, you know, they're processing the game long after the game is already over.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I always say, and we talk about this in the hockey realm, is the last thing I want to do is the moment that they get in the car is, let's talk about the game that you just played.
Yeah.
And especially if it's you're on the losing end, let's talk about it. Because then it's going to be ingrained in their head that, right. Oh, geez, I know that when I'm getting in Dad's car, he's going to mention the game. And that's
right.
Why I typically don't even say anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're
the same way. I just want it to be a safe haven.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. And then he had a game this weekend where they were up, and then he was out on the ice, and a player came down and scored. And I said, hey, I said, we're able to watch a replay of the game. They have cameras up there. And,
okay.
And I said, hey, I just want to show you the one play where guy came down and you were out on the ice and they score. He goes, oh, I know. Coach talked about that, so we're good. And I said, oh, okay. All right. We're good. All right, we're good. Yeah, and that was
that's
it.
Great.
So
right?
He knew. Yeah, he knew.
Yeah,
well, that's funny.
Yeah, I think 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, they know they did a mistake, or they know when they did well, too. And, you know, it's fun to see their different reactions, but the growth is just huge throughout the years that we've seen. And I feel like it carries over into, you know, I see it in Casey, our oldest, just, you know, with her work ethic as an occupational therapist, and she brings that home with her. You know, she's working at the table. I'm thinking, all right, me and Mom aren't the crazy ones still working at the kitchen table. She's finishing up her report.
They've learned that from you. Hey, you know, the work never stops.
Right.
So, you know, if I'm eating, and did you ever have the quiet, peaceful 7-member family dinner? Yeah. How many of those were there?
Never really quiet.
Never quiet. Okay.
Not in this house. No.
Yeah, we do now a little bit more than we did. I would say when we were younger, it was
chaos.
Were always running all over the place, and we were always in the car, or he was with somebody, I was with somebody else. Lately, we've been together more, which is crazy. Like, we'll be the older parents now sometimes if we're at the twins things, and there'll be single parents there, and they're like, how did you come together?
We're looking around just laughing.
We've
like,
been there, done that, and now we are able to go away together and kind of, you know, enjoy it sometimes. Yeah.
A quick story that, you know, it just brings to memory here is, you ever hear of the Hempfield tournament for soccer? It's usually right around Thanksgiving. And Kim and I were fortunate enough to have Bruce Springsteen tickets. Love Bruce. Went there. I think it was at the Wachovia Center. And then we had to drive out to Lancaster the next day. But, you know, here it's a big party. It's a great night. So we're at Breeze soccer game, I believe it is. And we would always count heads, you know. It was just like, you know, had to make sure we had five. And so Kim's at the sideline. I'm over across the way, and she's counting heads, and she's realizing that there's only four. And she's like, oh, my God, here's that. And she's, and all of a sudden, like, game's going on. She's like, Ken, Ken. And I'm like, what? Where's Riley? I said, you're holding her. She never counted her.
Oh, I thought we were going to have a Home Alone scene.
No. No, but it was everybody, you know, all the parents. It was hysterical. And I'm just like.
Just goes to show you how tired you are sometimes. Right, that you just keep going. And, yeah, it was probably, we were out the night before at the Bruce. And it was probably like a 7 a.m. start. And
it absolutely was.
We probably didn't go to bed till 4. And then, you know, because we were younger. And then I'm holding one and probably not even realizing. And, yeah.
Yeah. Good story.
So.
Where is it? Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm holding her.
How much was sacrificed with all with the sports and the girls and tournaments and stuff? How much did they sacrifice, whether that was school dances and proms and just that sort of regular school life that maybe because – if you're doing it for one girl, you got to do it for another, and maybe they come along. I don't know. I don't know how you juggled all of that.
Yeah. I would say it's a lot of work, and sometimes that they're friends that don't even realize how much work it is, you know, on the side. Like, they'll say, like, even now, like, oh, gosh, you guys are so lucky. You're done. You already know your college. But they don't realize how much work that was to be able to pick your college as a sophomore. You know, you have to be visiting colleges. You have to be emailing coaches. You're going to all these sports things where they're having sleepovers and they're, you know, just laying around or going out with friends all day, and they're at practice all day or they're at tournaments all day. And we kind of instilled in them younger, like, if you have something in the morning, you're not doing a sleepover because this is your thing. And you need to be the one getting up in the morning. And we made them pack their own bag and put it at the front door. That was our one big thing we always did, because especially when they were younger, I'd be like, look, you're not going out all night sleeping over, and then I'm packing your stuff and picking you up in the morning. Like, you need to be here. You're responsible for your own stuff. And there have been times that we've gone, had their uniform shirt, you know, because they packed their own stuff.
Usually teammates.
We borrowed it, yeah. Okay. Or someone frantically drove home and dropped it back off. But it was sacrifice, you know. I mean, they loved it, but they did miss a lot of things. I remember, I guess the funniest story is Bree was playing lacrosse, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a dance. I think it was a prom. And
it was a junior prom, I think.
And they wouldn't let her miss the game. She was an important game. And so we packed the car with all her stuff. She had, like, the hair dryer, like, everything she needed to get ready in a car. And as soon as they were winning enough that she could run off the field, the coach was like, all right, go. And she went running. I ran to the car. We jumped in. She put the seats down. She had the makeup out. Changed completely. We pulled up. Everyone was at pictures already. She jumped out. I was zippering her. And we were like, hello. And her prom date was right there holding her flowers. I was like, oh, my gosh, we made it. We forgot the boutonniere. But right. But all in all, she got there and she was okay. So, you know, where everyone else had the time to hang out together all day and do each other's hair and nails and, you know, that part of the stuff, but I think they loved it. She wouldn't have missed that game because that was important to her.
Yeah.
Even if the coach would have said, you don't have to come, she would have been like, I'm coming. Right. You know, like, right. I'm helping my team win. I want to be there. So I say, yeah, they did make sacrifices. But even now, like, the girls are a little older and sometimes they don't have a tournament until 2 p.m, but they'll call and say, oh, everyone's having a sleepover, but I'm coming home because I have a game tomorrow. And he'll say, it's not till 2, you know, like, but I'll say, I'm not changing their mind. Like, it's instilled in them. That's what they've been doing this whole time. I'm leaving it go. Like, if they are going to come home, let them come home.
And that's what I think is really cool. Yeah. Is you've established a mindset. You've established a pattern of, it's almost like venturing through life with reckless abandon where, you know, this is the way it is. So you may think that for some people, they can go and get their hair done and then go to prom and ease into it. But this is like life on the fly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they've probably have now adapted to that's the way it is. And they're going to carry over, right? Don't you think that they're going to carry
that's a good point,
their personal life over from the way that you set it up and the way that you guys conducted life, and just it's everything was just go, go, go.
Yep.
And you know, once they graduate from college, I don't know how they're ever going to be able to stop.
Yeah.
No, I think you're
right. That's a very good point. It's that's how we've always been. And it's just we've always been go, go, go as a family, every single one of us. And things that we do all day is just like, yeah, that's what we do. But like we just went out to dinner with someone and I worked in the morning. We did this. We had a run to a tournament. Then we went out to dinner. They're like, you did all that in one day. Like,
yeah, we're at a tournament. Yeah, we came right from the tournament.
Yeah, we always do that. You know, and tomorrow we have one at, you know, 8. I think we just become used to it. And I think they do too, which I don't know if that's good or bad. They're used to the hecticness and the craziness. But like, even when we're not at a tournament, we're like, were we missing something? Like, we're like looking on our phone, like, there's something I have to be missing. And then sometimes we'll go watch somebody else's game, you know, like we'll watch a cousin's or something. Like I'll run up and watch theirs. Or I think it's just become part of what we do. And like even work laughs at me. Anytime I take off, it's always for a sport.
Well, yes. Yeah.
It's always watch this game. And but, you know. I guess we'll have time to have regular vacations later.
And that leads me the window is starting to close.
Exactly.
It's starting to close. And you've been doing this for so long. I mean, you know, Casey's 25. I have to think you've been doing this for a good 15 years now. And now that window's starting to close. Have you thought about, you know, that day's going to come. Well, there's not going to be another field hockey game to watch. Yeah,
it's weird.
You're looking as if.
Right, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
I still got some hair left, John. So.
Well, they both. What's nice is the two oldest are now coaching. I could see us going to their games.
Yeah,
I could see us going to watch their kids that they're coaching. Because I was even thinking that the other day. Like, I would want to go see my daughter, my oldest, coach one of these days. I would love to see her. In action, coaching little kids,
right,
and see how she does it. I really haven't gone this year.
We haven't had the opportunity.
Yeah, because we haven't had an opportunity. But if they all still want to coach, I think I would love to go do that still. And then I guess grandkids at some day. But that's not for a long time. But yeah, I would like to go see them coach.
Well, thank goodness that you are saving a little bit money in college tuition, because you're going to need that when it comes wedding time.
Thanks, John.
I know.
Yeah, well, hey. Somebody needs a reminder here.
I mean, I appreciate that.
You know, when I heard that, it's like, wow, 5 girls.
Right, right.
God bless you, Kenny.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, no. So what's next? What's on the horizon in terms of you got your two youngest. They're going to transition from high school now to college.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd have to think they've got it down pretty pat. You know, they've had 2 parents, 3 sisters.
Yep.
You know, they know what to do. And I think for your younger kids, when they were younger, a lot of the things that you probably had to do for the older ones, you figured out, you know what, you can do it. You talked about carrying your own equipment, packing your own stuff, your own shoes. That's something that I think wasn't that instilled early on, so where that your younger kids automatically knew.
Yeah, it's a great point again, John. Yeah, I mean, as we were doing it, I guess you don't really think about it. You just think this is the right thing and this is what you need to do. Plus, with all the other kids there, they have to be responsible for themselves, you know. So, yeah, it's going to hopefully carry through, you know, the rest of their lives. And like we said, we see it with Case and Bree, you know, and, you know, now we got Aaron and the twins. So we'll see where their journey goes. But it's all exciting. It's very, very cool. We're in a very blessed to have a family where we like each other.
Yeah. And I think it gives them responsibility. And if they don't really want to do this, they're not going to be coming home and packing their own stuff and making sure it's ready at the front door. You know, we just said that this is your thing. You know, this is your thing. You got to want to do it. You got to be prepared for it. And they really rarely miss practice. I mean, they just... Mm-hmm. they want to, they're, like you said, they're competitive. They want to win. They want to be there for their team. And they don't, you know, they don't take it lightly. Like if they have something early, they are always, you know, they try to stay home for it, miss things because of it. Good. Yeah. They try to be responsible with their team. Like, I think that's a big, big part of it. They love being part of a team too.
Did you ever get the feeling that one of the girls didn't want to be the one to let you down because one set a standard, they all wanted to sort of achieve to that standard? Nobody wants to let their parents down. They all want they want their parents to be proud of them. And seeing five girls that if one's going to do it, they don't want to be sort of the oddball of the one that didn't get there. Did you ever sense that?
I think they all love the experience they saw their older sister do. So, like Erin, with her switching right now, she, like I said, you don't have to play if you decide to just go to college. And she's like, I don't want to go to college without playing. Like, they don't want that different experience because they liked the experience that they saw their sisters have. They like being, I think, at the school with already kind of a group of friends that are automatically their friends. You know, like you walk into a school because it's a fall sport. So you get there August, you get there early, and they saw their sisters being in this automatic friend group kind of. And when we go to visit, they all hang out with the team. And I just think that they always liked that atmosphere. So no one really ever had that in their head that they were going to go to school and be just at school. They all wanted to go to school and play at some point.
We found that with all our girls, just being up there that extra like month early and getting to know, you know, you're part of something before everybody else comes on campus. I really think that helps, I guess, any kind of freshman, whether I guess it's soccer or football. Or whatever. I just think that's what I love about a fall sport is that they can get right into it and get up there early before anybody else. I just think it helps that continuity when you start something new, you know, in your life. So
absolutely.
Cool. Yep.
Yeah.
Ken and Kim O'Donnell, raising five Division I field hockey players. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, John.
All the
best to the girls. I'm sure they're going to be successful, whatever they decide to do in life.
Thank you.
It's very impressive. You should write a book or something when it's all said and done.
You know, that would be good.
Write a book, you know, put a picture book, a picture album.
Got to pay for
them
weddings, like you said, so write a book.
Yeah, you got to pay for something. Start a field hockey podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go, right? Thanks for coming in. It's been good.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, we like to end our show as we do with our quote of the week. This week it's don't fake it till you make it. That's garbage advice. Face it till you make it. Get up, work hard, fail, stand back up, face it again, do it a little better, fail again, get back up, and repeat. Not a bad line for our quote of the week. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening to Raising a Champion. As always, we always encourage you to subscribe to us no matter where you're listening. We're available on Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, you name it. We're out there. Just do a search if you have to. And if you can, leave us a review. All of that's going to go a long way in terms of getting us and ranking us a little bit higher. And the whole purpose of this show is to spread it around and get other people involved because you guys, the listeners, is what makes it happen. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Raising a Champion with John Borick.